call the meeting to order at 6:02. If everyone would please rise. Dean, would you lead us to the pledge to the flag, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right. First business on the agenda tonight is approval of the November 7th meeting minutes. Do I hear a motion?
I'll move it. I'll second it.
Second. Any changes, revisions? No. Hearing none, I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
And we have two absent. Mm-hmm. I didn't have you do roll call, but you wanted, yeah,
sure.
Just thank you.
Laura Petit?
Here.
Dean Fabiano?
Here.
Herb Litz is not with us. Kathy Nolan?
Here.
And Eric Stewart is also not with us. So three committee members are present.
And they did call ahead, so they're excused. Department updates. Tony Roser was not able to make it, and which do you...
I mean, are there specific items you are looking for, like, answers to? I can give a general budget update of what was added in and what we're going to be proceeding with in the new year. Is that helpful?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and because you know you're going to have solar, I saw that resolution's on there too, but yeah.
So, in terms of significant changes in the budget, we've added a position for a fiscal deputy within the department. So, the new employee organization will be the department head. And then you'll have an operations deputy focused on dispatch, scheduling, all of those different aspects. And then the fiscal deputy will be focusing more on the FTA and state grants, as well as just supporting the overall administration. It's just in terms of comparative to our other departments that have these fiscal deputies or somebody with that higher level expertise, this now puts them on par with that. So that'll be very helpful. The other part is, and I was just talking with Cheryl here, just about the routing and scheduling. So hopefully within, you know, we don't pre-do things. So in January, when the appropriation is really in, then what we'll do is start to get the RFP ready so we can get ready for scheduling and routing and route optimization. So that'll be first part of the year. Other efforts, so we've had... The Deputy Director of Innovation, Victoria Reed, has been working with them on just communications policy, which I know is always of concern, and we're trying to really work on, if one person's out, that all of the passwords and everything else transfers down. It seems like it should have already happened. It wasn't happening in the organization, so we're really just trying to document everything and get everybody... on the same page, making sure that we don't have single points of failure within the organization and redundancy. So those are the few things going on. We did publicize the position for the director last week, so that's out there, and then we plan on acting very quickly so we can bring you guys all a name from the incoming county executive when she takes office.
How long is that open for? Till the end of the month? Or
probably to the end of the month. I've started to see a few trickle in already. So over the next few weeks, we'll determine if we have enough names, then we can close it out and begin the process. It'll have to be kind of a short and intense process so we can get you guys a name.
Okay. Thank you.
So.
Commissioner Masterson, do you have anything?
What would you like to know?
snowed, Brendan.
It snowed.
Yay.
Pretty good storm. Quick synopsis of the year. We had a very successful construction season. Mm-hmm. We did 5 bridges in-house. We did 2.5 contracted out. As you see tonight's agenda, we're going to be asking for materials for 4 more bridges for in-house this year. And we're starting to get together our construction season for next year. We're starting on that right now. So on the building side, plans are almost done for 368 for the first and fourth floors. So we're going to be moving on that quickly. We've got solar coming for the roof on Hall Records, and we're going to be pursuing more as we can.
We're going to be busy.
We are.
Thank you. Now we have a change to the agenda. Can I hear a motion to move Resolution 651, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $50,000 entered into by the County Rail Explorers Corporation, to move that up to number one position?
I'll move it.
Second.
Second, thank you. Do we have to do all in favor? Do we just, okay, I'll take the vote.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Director Doyle.
Sure. What happens is Rail Explorers, first of all, it's not a contract, it's a license or to use. And this is consistent with the legislative policy that was established many, many years ago, that essentially portions of the rail trail, the UND corridor, would be used for rail, and portions of it would be used for trail, and portions of it would be used for both, and there's a small portion where the legislature did not make a decision. This is a portion of the corridor that has an opportunity to be used for both. And we went out for an RFP years ago to see who would use this section of the corridor, and we had two bidders. Catskill Mountain Railroad was one, and Rail Explorers was the other. We also did, at the same time, we did an RFP for both sections of that area that was proposed to be used for rail. And Catskill Mountain Railroad bid on that, as did Rail Explorers, and the decision was to award to Catskill Mountain Railroad for the eastern segment and to award to Rail Explorers for the western segment. Those permits have been in existence, I believe, for 6 years, and they're coming, and one of the reasons they went past the five-year period was the COVID issue that arose, and we had an extension on those. The legislature just granted a two-year extension to Catskill Mountain Railroad on the eastern side. And so when Rail Explorers came up for review and permit, rather than do a separate RFP for this section of the corridor, the thought being was is we would extend this particular this particular permit for another year, and then both segments of the corridor would come up for an RFP at the same time, and it would give all of those entities that were interested to take a look at both segments rather than essentially that has been a long day. And so that's what you have. We've looked at and had some conversations with elected officials in Shandaken, and we've had some conversations with the neighbors in and around that area. There is a great deal of concern with respect to noise and privacy associated with that, so we've added a section under the permit with respect to noise. There's a section that's added to the permit for the one-year extension. The thought being was that we would basically try to make sure that the noise issues got addressed as soon as possible. Number one would be to quantify the noise, and then number two is to look at what could be done relative to those noise issues. And also in terms of the operations, to make sure that we had clear limits on their operations in terms of when they left, when they could leave, and when they could use the facility. So we've looked at their schedule, and we've limited them to the schedule they have now, okay, relative to any operations that would go to the west, to the east side of Route 28, which is where most of the, all of the complaints are, as far as I'm aware.
So they can't just go ahead and expand.
That's correct. They would be limited in their scheduling to the west, to the east side of Route 28. We went back up and spoke with the residents and the concerned officials up there again, and took a look at what we've had, and there may be some other changes that the legislature may want to consider. But where it stands now is what we try to do is we would hopefully go out for an RFP early in the new year. The thought being is that by doing that, we would allow the bidders to essentially be able to look at their extension and be able to make capital investments based on a six-year time frame if we did this early enough rather than a five-year time frame. And that's important for both entities. We've heard that discussion in terms of that importance. It's difficult to make capital expenditures on a 5-year permit. We haven't proposed, although there's been requests, we haven't proposed extensions of areas. So the areas that we would go out for an RFP would be the areas that are currently under permit on both sides. And that's where we are tonight. And it would extend the Rail Explorer's permit to 2023, to the end of 2023.
Okay. Did committee have any questions?
No.
No, I think there are people from the community here, and there's also representatives of Rail Explorers here, so... So did you have a representative from your group that would like to speak?
Yes.
Okay. Please identify yourself for the
record. So my name is Molly Holm, and I'm from Andrew Lane and Matt Tremper for almost 42 years. So I wrote this. It's just one page, if I can read that. And here are my other neighbors and some who couldn't come. So I'm speaking here on behalf of a group of property owners in the residential neighborhood that Rail Explorers run through. We are here out of concern and to urge the county to include strong mitigations in their upcoming contract and in any RFP. Prior to 2018, Ulster County leased the tracks to Catskill Mountain Railroad for tourist excursion rides. They ran only on weekends and occasional holidays, maybe 3 times a day, and we were fine with it. We understand why the county wants to make use of the tracks, but the situation with Rail Explorers is far more extreme in terms of both noise and schedule. The use of their steel wheels on the bikes leads to a very loud grinding and clacking from the steel on steel rails. They run close to 190 days of the year, from May until mid-November, with runs from 8:30 a.m. until after 8 p.m. at night. Each run can have 18 cars with up to 48 riders and go by our properties twice for each run for upwards of 8 to 10 minutes passing within close proximity to our houses. This goes on 7 days a week in the summer months. This far exceeds anything the tourist train was allowed to do, and we feel it has both ruined our neighborhood and also lowered our property values. There have been other towns where they have operated with similar problems that have required mitigation. Both the town and planning boards of Shandaken have given us their support, including letters sent to the county. They want to see changes made for their residents that are meaningful. For us, that means the bikes should have all of their wheels replaced with the polyurethane ones, which all the other rail bike companies in this country use. We know it cuts the noise down extremely well. We also want their schedule to be modified to a more reasonable one, considering where the corridor lies. No runs early in the morning or into the evening, and maybe some visual screening. This has been 6 years of our experience living with Rail Explorers. As they have expanded each year, so have the negative impacts on us, to a point where it is becoming a completely unlivable situation. We have worries about safety issues, if enough oversight is being done, concerns about why they're getting another extension on an existing contract, which makes their 5-year contract effectively 7 years, and then if they give them another 5 years, and their plans for expanding further into night runs on 28, which a lot of people in our town are worried about. We're asking the county to be reasonable and fair to the residents impacted, with the understanding that this is our section of the corridor that is being used for a for-profit company, and this is our home. Both quality of life for us and Rail Explorers, or maybe another rail bike company or tourist train, can exist, but we need our government to step up and help us find better solutions now. So when Dennis says that they're going to deal with our runs, right, he's talking about keeping it exactly the same as it is, which means they'll be allowed to do their 6:30 at night run, which means it's going through our neighborhoods after 8 o'clock at night. So their 8:30 run gets to our neighborhoods around 8:45 in the morning, and then the last run is after 8 o'clock at night in a residential neighborhood in the summer that is 7 days a week. So we literally have no time on our property more than an hour at most, 7 days a week, all summer, and then in May, you know, into June, and then September and October and November. It's extremely unreasonable. So I'm very disappointed to hear that you know, Dennis's answer is to allow the schedule to remain as is. It just is not, it's not reasonable. And we really think that the biggest solution has to be in the change of wheels. And we've done a lot of research. We've talked to a lot of other companies. We know the situation with the wheels, and you know, it's a much more serious situation than people realize for us.
Thank you. Legislator Fabiano.
What, rather than going to 8:30 at night, what would you think would be a fair time to end it for the afternoon?
Well, we talked to a rail bike company, the Adirondacks, and they end at 4 o'clock, their last run. And their reason is because they don't like to burn out their staff. You know, it's a very physical job. So, you know, of course we'd like as little as possible, but we understand that we have to compromise and be reasonable. I would suggest from Sunday through Thursday, their last run is their 4 o'clock run. And, you know, maybe the compromise is that Friday and Saturday nights, they do that later run, but it's good to understand that come September, they're running in the pitch dark. Shandaken is very quiet on the weekday. There's most of the businesses are closed, so if you say on a Thursday night that they're going at 8 or 8:30 at night, there's nothing else open. Everything is quiet, except for our neighborhood, which is, you know, 7-8 properties that are with us. There are others that we haven't talked to yet, so that would be our suggestion. And maybe that early morning one. Most other rail bike companies don't start at 8:30. They start at like 9:30 from our research.
So we have representatives of Rail Explorers here.
Good evening. My name is Mark Stenning. I'm Vice President of Rail Explorers USA. Also with me is Casey Farrell, who's our division manager, and Larry Belka, who's our director of operations. We've worked closely with Dennis over the last few months to try to create a scenario, and we've had some conversations off and on with Molly over the last couple of years. As a result, what I have in front of me is a list of restrictions that that the Ulster County is presenting to Rail Explorers USA,
okay,
including testing urethane covering on the wheels, particularly in the area of the neighborhood we're talking about, adding urethane coating to the rear wheels of all of the bikes. I don't know, does everyone have this in front of them?
No, keep going.
I can go right there. It relates to excessive noise, excessive pollutants, prohibiting loud equipment activities, 7 a.m. to after till 9 p.m. No amplified music or other sounds. Obviously, we're in charge of any sort of litter or waste. Limiting bike operations that cross Route 28 in such a manner that the last scheduled rail bikes leave the Phoenician Depot at 6:30 p.m. Signing and enforcing a quiet zone from Route 28 East to the rail crossing at Andrews Lane. Utilizing non-steel covered wheels in the back. It should make a significant difference. One of the things we've agreed to do, actually agreed to pay for, the county to do, is to pay for a noise study. We're really concerned that what the steel wheels sound like in Molly's neighborhood, and we feel that the combination of the urethane covered wheels as well as the rubber covering on the top of the wheels, it's about 1,000 foot run, it would cost Rail Explorers somewhere in the neighborhood of $70,000 to install it. So we would test it during this extension period, and if it works out and everyone's comfortable with it going forward, we would go forward with that. The other things that Dennis had presented with us is testing other feasible solutions, which include, I had already talked about rubberized applications, but fabric tunnels, acoustic fencing, etc.
Thank you. Legislator Nolan.
So, can you remind me how long the run is from Phoenicia out past Mount Trumper? Is it about 2 or 3 miles total?
Livery and Kathy?
Yes.
I'm going to defer to Casey.
They're 4.2 miles. So
each way?
4 round,
no,
mile,
round
trip.
Trip.
Round trip, right. So, about 2.1 miles each way.
4.2 miles each way.
Total.
Total is 8.4.
Okay. So the solution proposed by the neighbors is to put polyurethane wheels on all four wheels on these bikes. the, is my understanding that the company has tried that and that they don't get good connection with the track, and they actually have derailing. So it presents a safety issue to do with their equipment what is the neighbors are asking for. And the section that is really problematic is 1,000 feet, so a fifth of a mile. Mm-hmm. So out of a 4.2 or 8.4 run, to ask for all the wheels to be covered instead of covering the track is a big deal. The covering the track, if it does the same thing, could be as good as what the neighbors are insisting on. What I think the permit is allows us to do is get a trial period to see if that works. Mm-hmm. And the noise study will give us some data on what is this condition now and what is the change. So that's using data and science to try to guide us and help unify our understanding of the situation. It seems to me that it is fair. You know, the concerns that people have are the impact of this business. But it's a very successful business, and they came to the county saying that if they were successful, they wanted to add more cars, more runs, and we have encouraged them to do that because it's good for the economy to have that extra activity. And there are more activities in Phoenicia and the surrounding areas because of the rail bikes. They are bringing in people who then go to our shops and to the restaurants and even stay in the area, is what I'm being told by the businesses. So I think we have multiple stakeholders, and it's important that we attend to each of them. This, to me, a proposal seems like a fair start in on that. I would wonder if we could get an estimate from Rail Explorers of when they think they might have something on the track. You're not running now, so you've got some time to get this in place if you were to get this permit.
Didn't they try adhering rubber to the track? I don't understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, Larry Belka for the record. We did install and do some testing in the late fall. It was in September, trying a few different materials. We did record it. We did record it with decibel levels. We saw almost a 50% drop in the decibel levels. It's very successful, very noticeable on the videos that we produced. We're trying to find the exact right material. That's why we tried three different. We have different adhesives that we're using. But we feel like that was a very successful test, and we will roll it out as soon as the weather permits and that we can get out there. We would be happy at that time to, you know, again, record with decibel levels, with video, so it can be seen and heard. Unfortunately, when we did begin the testing in September, some of the neighbors, it was brought up that that was also a negative. Like, it's almost like whatever we try as a solution, we're being resisted when we're trying to address their concerns.
This was at the end of the season, at the end of your contract after 6 years. We have gone to numerous town board meetings, public board meetings. We don't feel that the company has been respectful to us, and we didn't understand why at the end of the season, at the end of your five-year contract, you're finally attempting to do something. And from our look, I felt like it was defacing the track, and it looked like the rubber wasn't even sticking. So we're just like, we know that quiet wheels work. We've seen them with all the other companies. We know that your bikes are heavier than the other bikes. But I feel like we don't want just rail bikes to tell you what is. We would like more neutral parties involved. If there's a sound test, have a neutral party. We
do have it within the contract.
Yeah.
So I, you know, and of course, if they fail to meet the terms of the contract, then it's a breach. So then we'll have our questions answered there.
One of the things I think in all of these discussions is that there has been a breakdown of trust, and I think that breakdown of trust not only exists between both the Rail Explorers and the neighbors, but also between the neighbors and the county.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can appreciate the fact that people are looking for some certainty in what we're trying to accomplish here. So one of the things that the conversations I think we can change is to sort of force an implementation plan. And the way this is written now, it's written as that they're going to do testing. They're going to test an implementation plan. So my one, the change that I would make, I think, is, and we've had some conversations with Rail Explorers about this, and you heard this gentleman here just basically said they're confident that they can make something work. So if they're confident that they're make something work, I'm confident that they that we should force an implementation plan to make it work.
Okay. And so how would we word that in the
contract? One of the changes would be actually to start to think about that they would be providing us with an implementation plan by a certain date. We can pick that date so that they have an opportunity to look at it. And then that implementation of those factors would have to be installed by a certain date. And my sense would be is that, particularly with respect to some of the things that we're talking about, is installation it needs to be warm. You can't do some of this stuff when it's really cold. So I think we have to give them time to essentially do that. But what the thought being is that they would get it done prior to them moving into their full okay. schedule season. And that's a conversation we haven't had yet, but the point being is that would be the amendment that we would consider. Generally, when we do these things, what ends up happening, you allow us to go back and submit amendments, and that would be one of the things I think we would try to do is to work out an implementation plan. I still think that the value here is to do the noise study, because one of the things that we have a lot of qualitative discussion about noise and concerns. I want to quantify that discussion, because once I quantify that discussion, there are clear levels where you can establish clear levels in terms of what constitutes a nuisance or what doesn't constitute a nuisance. So that's one of the reasons I wouldn't back off on the noise study, but I would think that it's important for the neighbors, it's important for us as a county, and I think it's important for the company to essentially commit to an implementation plan. And if we put that in a permit, then we have something that we can hold them to. And I think it's not a question of having a conversation anymore or what we're going to do. It's a question of essentially, if you don't do anything, you're not going to run. So that to me is one of the ways to deal with this.
Legislator Fabiano?
Yeah, that was going to be my point. So right now there's no activity on these tracks at all.
Correct.
And when does that start up again? When is the season?
May 1.
May 1. So we got from now to May 1 to do this implication and to make sure that it gets forced, so to speak. I mean, we just don't want to talk about it, and then May 1st comes and it's business as usual. I mean, you know, there's going to have to be a change here to satisfy or try to address some of these neighbors' needs.
I think we're going to have to test and see what works
right.
for us to
right.
do full implementation of the rubber. As Alex spoke the other day, it is probably a $75,000 investment.
Yeah.
Which is tough to do during a one-year extension. If we are lucky enough to be on the rails in the future, if we can amortize that over a period of years, but not in 1 year.
Are we talking about allowing them to glue stuff to the railroad track?
I don't think that there's a problem with that, but we would certainly look at what they're proposing.
Is that a permanent? I mean, yeah. Is that irreversible to glue rubber? Because when we looked at it, the rubber was not sticky, and they had it clamped.
I think it's a bad idea.
So my thought would be, so look, I don't want to sort of negotiate this out in the open.
Right.
My thought would be is that we're going to try to. We're not going to try. We're going to get a sort of a noise analysis here. We're going to force an implementation at some way, shape, or form. And frankly, if there's an issue with respect to the implementation as it relates to cost, then you may have to sacrifice runs if that's the case. So from my perspective, I think one of the things that you end up doing is that you let the private sector use their ingenuity to essentially come up with a solution, and you measure what that solution is. And that's what the thought is. I don't want to say that there's any one particular thing, whether it's polycarbonate wheels on all of the bikes or different bikes, etc. What I want to say is that we anticipate that what you're going to submit to us is an implementation plan, and you're going to implement it.
Legislator Erner?
Thank you. I noticed that your company is incorporated in Delaware and has an office in Rhode Island. Can you speak to the structure and if you have any intention of relocating or establishing a local office?
Yes, sir. Larry and I are Rhode Islanders. That's where the company began in 2017. and we currently have 5 operating divisions. We're in Las Vegas. We have 2 in New York. The other one's in Cooperstown. We're in Boone, Iowa, as well as we do have a significant presence right now in Phoenicia and Elster County under Casey. How many employees do you have in peak season?
Peak season, approximately 20, 25 on average.
And Casey runs a great shop. She was the Rail Explorers Catskill, who was just recognized as the Elster County Tourism Business of the Year. But our headquarters is in Rhode Island. We will continue to expand in the Catskills as business allows.
Thank you.
Sure. I just want to go back, because one of the things that I did talk about was the idea of sort of releasing an RFP early. And if we do that, that sort of, if they win that, then we know we have a situation where they're not investing on a one-year extension. They would be investing on a much longer extension. So there's those kinds of considerations. It's not just for Rail Explorers. It's also for Catskill Mountain Railroad as well.
And I do have, this would be procedural, but do we need to put, I mean, how do we get that amended forcing implementation schedule into this contract? I mean, we could put it in as H under 7.1, because it does list everything in the letter
so
that was discussed.
My understanding is when the legislature passes a contract, you allow us to essentially amend that contract with the permission of the attorneys on both the council for the legislature and the council for the county attorney. So that would be the language I'm looking at, is basically providing us an implementation plan by pick a date, and I want to have that discussion about what that date is, but we need it early enough that we can make a decision about it, and they can make a decision about it. And then the second piece is actually implementing it by a certain date as well. And for me, that date would be before they go into full service.
Before May 1st, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know whether May 1st works. That's awful early, but certainly before they really gear up for the season. They open on May 1st. I'm not sure when you go into full service.
When demand requires.
Yeah. So that's the kind of thing. I think it's sort of towards the end of May is probably where you're looking.
Do you have any more questions from the committee?
No, I'm good for now.
All right. So I will call the vote on Resolution 651. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Now we'll go back in order. Resolution.
Thank you, everybody.
We
came just for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. Resolution number 553, establishing a policy to require public notification of changes to Ulster County area transit bus routes and schedules. Motion to discuss.
A little bit.
Second.
Okay. Legislator Erner, would you like to review this with us?
Yes. So I'd actually like to turn over to Deputy Executive Kelly. And has there been any change from the administration on this?
No, not a change. I owe you a draft policy.
We'll be in touch.
We're in the process, so I owe you guys. I'll email now, and I'll get you the committee a copy of the draft.
Can we take no action?
Yeah, and then I'll make sure that I follow up. I
okay.
apologize.
Yeah, I know you're the lone man standing. But
I got my computer, so I'll email them now, and I'll make sure I get a draft circulated to make sure it meets what you were intending on that. I think we were aligned.
Basically, we want to follow, what is it, Chapter 8?
So there's certain rules if you change 25% of routing, but we want to apply it to anything that really affects times or otherwise. So.
Okay.
We wanted to go beyond and apply that to most of our routes if we make any changes.
Thank you.
Satisfactory to you, Legislator Erner?
Yeah, I'm hearing from members of the public an interest in, I think that's what you said, Deputy Executive Kelly, in terms of having a policy and how you will engage the public with changes, besides the amount of notice, but other details there. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, look forward to that. Thank you.
Hopefully they'll get to me in the morning and then.
We do have.
Okay.
You answered your question.
Oh, okay.
So, all right. So we will take no action on 553.
There's no quorum. Do we need to wait for legislative?
I think we. That's. I said it before Dean left. So, but we can do it again when Dean comes back.
We'll go back just to make a formal.
Yeah. I mean, we're taking no action, so...
But we do have to wait unless I can move 554 forward and we can discuss.
Well, we have to have a quorum to make the motion. We'll just
hang out.
At a previous meeting, you had mentioned 45 days more likely.
It was at minimum. It was probably 60 days at minimum. And it just depends, like, you know, temporary cancellations.
Okay, we're taking no action.
Officially, with a quorum, taking no action on resolution number 553.
Passed if you're required.
And
resolution number 554, adopting a proposed local law number 10 of 2022, a local law amending the code of the county of Ulster in relation to construction apprentices. Motion to discuss?
I'll move it for discussion. And I have discussion on this. It's my feeling following the public hearing on this local law that I don't know enough about the impacts on local businesses of adopting this law to feel comfortable moving ahead with it. Mm-hmm. I do want to forward the goal of having more apprenticeships and having that those apprenticeship programs be in all of the companies that the county works with. So my proposal in process right now is to discuss with the executive office and with personnel building in more points or some incentive for apprenticeship programs that will basically be hefty enough to generate some action and will allow us to test the impact on the business community. If we don't get proposals on some of our projects, or we don't get proposals from smaller businesses that used to apply, or they apply and they don't win because they don't have these programs, then I think we have a clearer sense of the impact of a law like this. And we can make adjustments in the law to reflect what we learn from that data. So it's not been an easy time of year to have those kind of discussions. You know, we're focused on budget, and so I haven't completed that and can't say that there's a plan other than that I think we should have some procedure like that. I don't know what the best procedure is, but I would like to propose that we either take no action or postpone this at this point, so that we can see if there's a better way to do this and achieve the same end without injuring any of the businesses that usually work with us.
I don't agree. I'm comfortable with the way the resolution is written, and I think we should move forward with it.
And I mean, I actually am too, but it'll get defeated if we vote on it now. I would be concerned, you know, that these businesses wouldn't, even with these in place, to hire a certain amount of laborers from union, that they wouldn't apply for these jobs. I mean, these are millions of dollars every year spent on local businesses, and some of them are the only ones that do step forward. One of the speakers there came out into our town, and I mean, it was... I think even the lack of competition that made them come in at $285,000 just to blacktop a park. So I would like to see our younger people being provided with a hands-on learning experience for the trades.
You feel it would be defeated on the floor?
No, but it would be defeated in this committee. So, I mean, we can move forward and take action after that, if you're comfortable doing that.
Well, I'd like to take the vote now because I want to go on record of voting yes for this.
Okay. Legislator Erner?
I just want to say I have been talking with one of the facility in the next county south where they do some of the training through the union and trying to arrange a tour. If anybody else from the committee or else or the full body would like to join, please be in touch.
Mm-hmm. So I would make a motion that we postpone this for a month.
Do I hear a second? Motion failed. All right, I will call the vote then. All in favor? Signify by
vote. Yes.
Okay. Two yes. Opposed?
Okay.
No abstentions. So the resolution's failed.
No, it passes.
It's adopted.
You and
you voted yes.
Doesn't it have to be a full?
No.
No, it's a quorum. The majority of the those here, if there's a quorum.
It's the majority of your quorum.
Yeah. It has to be three, right?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, it has to be three.
Okay.
Well, it's a majority of the members of the committee.
Yes.
It's not a majority of the members of the
committee. Yeah. So you need all three of us here in order to hold the meeting, but it does have
to.
So
then what's the sense of having a meeting? And what's the quorum? You can't vote on anything.
You can approve things if everybody agrees.
Yeah. Which we've run into before. Mm-hmm. Kathy's twisted my arm.
I've never heard of this. I've been here 18 years.
Yeah.
I've never done before. When we had a quorum, things were either up or down.
Well, if we're mistaken, we can always change that because we have the vote on record. But I'm pretty sure that we need three in order. But it has to be all three of us.
So the motion failed.
The motion failed. Okay. Resolution number 624, approving the work order with the Dormitory Authority of the State of New York for the design, testing, and construction related to capital project number 486, window replacement project, and amending the capital budget fund. Motion for discussion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Hi, everyone. So this is our window replacement project in Vanderlyn Hall. Vanderlyn Hall is one of our largest buildings on campus. Judging by the past experience in window replacements, we do have a lot of hazardous material abatement work that will be taking place. So that's why this cost estimate looks a bit higher. When we came back before you, we had to amend our last window project to include a bit more hazardous material abatement. So at this point, this will be new windows, operable windows within our Vanderlyn Hall, which has classrooms, offices. At this point, we have broken windows, which are leaking. So they are way beyond their useful life at this point and need complete replace in Vanderlyn Hall.
Have they ever been replaced?
No, these are original windows.
50% reimbursable.
Yeah.
Correct, 50% reimbursable.
So we'll
that's
getting
a good standard.
And then we do have capital approval for today already for this project.
Okay.
Through the state budget process.
Thank you. Any other questions? I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Next, resolution number 628, approving a work order for the Dormitory Authority of the State of New York to provide the construction services for Vanderlyn Hall main entry doorway replacement related to the project number 493, door replacement and amending the capital budget. Motion for discussion.
I'll move it. I'll second it.
So this is sticking with Vanderlyn Hall. We did the Vanderlyn Bridge replacement project, which was a pedestrian bridge. The county was graceful and really helped us on that project as well. This is actually replacing the full door on the other side of the Vanderlyn pedestrian bridge. This door is not operable at this moment. It is one of our only handicapped accessible entryways into Vanderlyn Hall. And we need to have that door completely working and operable for all of our students and employees who come in through that entrance door. At this point, this door also will have a lot of scope work that needs to be done. When we redid the Vanderlyn pedestrian bridge, the platform was actually sinking, which is creating a pivot against the door frame. So now the door frame needs to be completely replaced all the way up through the entire vestibule, probably the best way to say it, for the doors. So this is actually 8 physical doors and all of the glass surrounding the door.
Thank you. Any other questions? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Did you skip 626? You called for 628.
Oh, I did.
So we did it.
I did. So we did that one. Okay, so 626. approving the work order with the Dormitory Authority of the State of New York for design, testing, and construction for Student Life Center roof related to the capital project number 489, Campus Roofs, Ulster County Community College. Motion for discussion.
Moved.
Second.
Thank you.
So this is also in Vanderlyn Hall. It's a great building. This is the roof over our cafeteria area. This roof is a sloped roof. It's the one when you come in, you look up, you see that sloped roof structure. We did emergency repairs on this roof with the Dormitory Authority. Those emergency repairs have now failed. So we have active leaking coming down through into the Student Life Center and also impacting kind of the kitchen / dining area. So we did have a partial interior roof collapse when we had those heavy rainstorms. We were able to do another patch, but again, the patchwork at this point is not holding. So this roof is well beyond its useful life. In doing this new roof, we will also be improving the overall R factor of the roof. We will be doing some unique work with Dazney on the engineer design of this. It has kind of eyebrow windows along the top frame, which will make it a little bit trickier in terms of the design for the increasing the insulation factor. But again, another roof that is beyond, well beyond its useful life. We will also do a solar feasibility study with this one to see solar, right, to see how the solar install could work based on positioning for this roof.
Okay.
We don't have a lot of
brand new engineering,
right? We don't have a lot of HVAC work up there.
Okay.
So it might be a good one for us to look at it.
All right. She read my mind. All right, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Thank you. Is the next one yours too? Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Resolution number 630, establishing capital project number 654, emergency preparedness, amending the capital fund budget. Motion for discussion.
Move it.
Second.
Thank you. No, this one is not yours?
No, this one's mine, too.
Okay.
Yep. So this one is emergency preparedness. This is actually a really old capital project that we had approved many years ago at the state level. So we have state appropriation authority for this. This will be to look at our emergency preparedness on campus. We're looking at improving some of the backbone to our camera system, our radio systems, also looking at potential backup generation and what that would look like on campus. We are listed as a Red Cross shelter. However, we don't have a generator. So that really grows that impacts what we can do as a shelter. During the ice storm, we lost power to the main campus for about 3 to 4 days, which really impacted a lot of our systems and a lot of our operations. So this will be the
Jamie's point, if I may, Chair. So us, during that storm, we figured out pretty quickly that we weren't going to have our Red Cross shelter, so that's why we went to SUNY New Paltz, and they made their space available, which worked out well just because of where they are in the grid. They're on a three-phase out there, and they kept power the entire time and didn't get hit an ounce by the ice storm. But in terms of a Red Cross shelter being central to the county, if they're able to do the right planning and get active generator, I would encourage batteries, and then we'll be in a better position to be more centralized there. So,
now, what would the time frame be on this? Because we're in winter now,
right? So we'd be kicking this off right now for really the design component,
okay.
And then we all of these projects will be hitting construction spring, summer.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we want to get ahead of the bidding schedule at this point. This is really to look at kind of the scope of campus, what we need to do. Some of the easy fixes, the camera backbone, that's an easy upgrade. The radio systems are relatively easy. But when we start to talk about the backup generator, we really want to get a full design for campus-wide potential backup generation.
So I think I mentioned this in another discussion of this, but you will include looking at solar power generators and battery packs.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Thank you. For the record.
Absolutely.
All right, any other questions? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Resolution number 636, amending the 2023-2028 Capital Improvement Program, amending capital project number 574, UCAT Rooftop Solar Installation. Amending the 2023 Capital Fund Budget, authorizing the execution of an intermunicipal agreement with the Power Authority of New York.
I'll move it.
Move it.
I'll second.
Who's here to, okay. Deputy Director Kelly.
Thank you, Chair. So this project was originally envisioned as a 90-kilowatt system. Working with NYPA, they said maximum fit is now approximately 145 kilowatt system would be maximum fit. We have $100,000 from a Senator Hinchey state and municipalities grant that'll go towards the project. We anticipate for the EO2, I think, getting back approximately $50,000 through NYSERDA, I believe. It's not through NYPA, it'll be through NYSERDA. But in order to make the project a go, we're going to bond out for that portion, as well as the county share for, I think, about $457,000 all in for the project. So that's what we're amending. And this is, you know, it would have been in the capital program, but this is late information about the size of the system. So, but rooftop solar, okay.
Okay. I do have a kind of a house cleaning question that I had asked, and I was told that everything was in the budget that we just passed, but this is just procedural. But these were actually amending the capital budget. They were not.
Yep. So you're amending the capital budget. We didn't get this letter from the New York Power Authority until November 14th because they're helping us do what the maximum fit design would be and how the whole financial package would work. We always knew that we had a SAM grant. Mm-hmm. But it was how much can we fit and what's the ending cost. So this letter is like that to us. So
all right, thank you.
It was too late for the November session.
Any other questions? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Very happy. Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Was there a motion for discussion for 6:30?
There was a motion for discussion.
Yeah,
I'm sure it was
myself and Dean.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Are we going too fast? You want to slow down for a second?
Yeah. Okay. And this was defeated, by the way.
Challenger.
The other one was 554.
Yeah.
Moving on to Resolution 638. Okay. Establishing capital project number 653, Hall of Records Building Rooftop Solar Array Project. Motion for discussion?
I'll move it.
Second.
And we did receive a letter. I do remember when we had approved having the roof put on last summer. And I believe it was Legislator Fabiano had asked about the warranty when we did move forward with the roofing. There was Rob Parody did provide a letter that there had been discussion with the installer and it would be warrantied. And we're getting solar on a roof, which is wonderful.
Yep.
Any other? Yeah, that'd be good training for some of our Empower people, right? Any other questions? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Another happy aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Joe would be lovely.
Yeah, so that was a Hall of Records. Resolution number 641, amending the 2023-2028 Capital Improvement Plan, establishing capital projects number 649 through 652, the 2023 DPW Bridge Program.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Any do you have a list of the bridges yet?
We do. These are four.
Yeah, they're right there.
Are they in there already?
Yeah. Okay.
They're going to be all over the county.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the idea.
we'll keep people moving. Any other questions? Just mine. Okay. All right.
Legislator.
All right, Legislator Erner.
Thank you. To the Chair, Commissioner, can you tell the current situation and the plan for accommodating pedestrians, bikers, anybody else on these bridges right now?
That's a good question.
So, Core 10 bridges, we're reutilizing existing buttons. We're not widening them to do these as effectively as we can. Core 10 bridges are rusting out faster than the service license was supposed to be. So we're trying to keep up with these. We're knocking out four or five of these per year in-house. They're going to go back exactly the same size that they are now. So it's shared travel lanes. If there are existing shoulders on them, they will remain. Whereas opposed to bridges that are being replaced through
capital dollars, those bridges are being designed with shoulders to accommodate pedestrians and bicycles.
Which would be these four that we have listed in here,
these four,
since it is capital.
Oh, I'm sorry, I misspoke.
Okay.
The larger, the bridges that we put out for design work, the multiple span bridges, once we get awarded through Bridge New York, those bridges will accommodate pedestrians and bicycles
okay.
as part of design requirements.
This will be a replace as they are.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Correct, sir.
Any other questions? Hearing none, I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So, resolution number 643, authorizing right-of-way acquisition of certain real property for the proposed of installing. Okay, so shoulders along with 299, towns of New Paltz and Gardner. Motion for discussion.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Is this going to be an eminent domain proceeding, or can we...
So you guys approved this two sessions ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a mix-up procedurally as far as the correct property owners getting notified through the...
I remember that.
Okay.
Yes.
So there was a transfer of ownership, so unfortunately to redo the public hearing. That's what this is about.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Yeah, I feel like some of these we do over and over, but I'm...
They're different stages.
They're all different stages. Okay. All right.
I would mention, if I may, that this is actually a project that is going to enhance pedestrian and cyclist safety in an area that has been needed for some time. So this is a big project towards that end.
So which section of New Paltz is this in?
Butterville Road.
Is it, so it's further
from
further
Road.
Towards the Poughkeepsie side mm-hmm. than Lowe's?
Butterville Road. Going up the mountain.
Oh, that
Gardner,
way.
To Gardner.
Okay.
Up to
okay.
Mount Brahaus.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Resolution number 644, amending the 2023-2028 capital improvement program, establishing capital project number 647, Ulster County Courthouse Parking Lot Stormwater Drainage Improvements Project.
I'll move
motion.
It.
I'll second
you.
It.
Thank you. Any questions? Any discussion? Hearing none, I will call the vote.
Oh, so legislator
yes,
Erner has
legislator Erner.
So, the whole complex there having been the subject of the previous conversation around having to relocate the DAs, I was thinking about the setup there and the parking lot, and obviously it'd be really expensive, but given the crunch, like thinking about some way to consolidate parking, maybe not building like a full covered garage, but something they do in some bigger cities where they lift cars up and then maybe making some room to put an expansion on, because I was hearing the DA's concerns about being close enough to the courthouse, and obviously we're not going to figure that out tonight, but just putting that bug in everyone's ear.
Mm-hmm. Or solar canopies.
Yeah, it should be well drained in either case, but so for this resolution. But yes, I think that's a great conversation to have.
Is there any chance that it could be permeable? I mean, do we
know?
Yeah.
So it's all going to the ground.
Any other discussion?
No.
There you go. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any
aye.
Opposed? Yes.
I just want to point out, because we don't get enough credit for the stuff that we've done in the past before we had these buzzwords like permeable pavement and stuff like that. The drainage systems in uptown Kingston and the county parking lots were designed to be infiltration recognizing. We had great soils, and it was all sand. And so when we design these, they go into catch basins, but the catch basins are literally designed to essentially make sure that the water
has
out.
Right.
Yeah, and they're literally designed almost like a septic absorption field where they go in and they are actually using the sand that's around them to infiltrate rather than just doing the entire surface. You just drain it to a point, and then you have the catch basin itself be permeable. And it was pretty innovative at the time, and we don't get credit for the fact that we actually did that back in the 80s.
And does that, it goes into the ground then, it doesn't go into any drainage system that would go to a water treatment plant?
What ends up happening is that if there's storm
stormwater pipes in the ground in the street, and if they fill up, then there's an interconnect with the stormwater in the street.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, this parking lot out here was installed with that in it, with those drainage facilities in 1976.
Mm. You know, we could ask the county clerk to do an installation on the foresight of the Ulster County construction efforts to protect the environment from the 1970s and 80s. That's actually very cool.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks. Resolution number 646, approving the execution of a contract for $166,000 entered into by the county with Mid-Hudson Construction Management, Inc.
I'll
motion.
Move it.
Second?
I'll second it.
Any questions?
No.
Hearing none, we'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Resolution number 647, approving the execution of a contract for $269,388 entered into by the county with Samsara, Inc.
Motion. Move it.
Thank you.
Second.
Any discussion on this one? I'm losing track of the resolutions here. I'm sorry. The increased funding for as-needed repairs to overhead. Okay, on those overhead doors. All right. I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Resolution number 648, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $21,720, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000.
Move it.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Okay. Hearing none, I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Resolution number 649, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $37,420, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into by the county with Eastern Heating and Cooling.
Oops.
Motion for discussion.
I'll move it.
Second.
Second. Sorry, I'm falling behind here. Oh, it's that law enforcement center again. All right. Hearing no other discussion, I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so moved. Resolution number... I already did Eastern Clearing, correct? So 650 is next. Resolution number 650, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $22,845.96, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into by the county with Gotham Refining Chemical Corp. Motion for discussion.
Second.
Second. Do we have any questions or... No? Okay. Hearing none, I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Resolution number 651.
No. We did it.
No, we did that one. Mm-hmm. Okay. That one was done.
The late resolutions.
Late resolutions. Here we go. Number 675. Amending Capital Project 607, Government Operations Center, authorizing costs for design and environmental review under NYCRR Part 617 CECRA.
I'll move it.
Thank
I'll
you.
Second.
Second.
It.
Do we have any questions of Director Doyle while he is here?
I won't answer any questions, but I just want to say that even with this increase, you're looking at a $1 million contract for design, a little over $1 million for design, for something that's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of a $24 million
construction contract. Yeah.
That's a very cheap design fee.
Yeah.
And think about it, most of your design fees are 10-15% of your construction costs.
Yep.
So you're well below that.
Yep.
That's the next resolution, but I get it.
Yeah.
You're going to charge us your standard fee for this?
I'm going to make Dennis pay another their year.
He's got to. He's got to be.
No,
you better see that. You better see that.
I want to tell you, when I'm talking about things that were built in 1976, it's a problem.
Well, they're still standing. That's right.
We did the parking lot. Yeah, here we actually thought about providing a separation between the parking lot and a separation between the parking lot and the street, and we built a stone wall. Mm-hmm. We built out of bluestone because it faces an historic district, which is across the street. And then when we got into it, we said, well, we put a cornerstone in it because 1976 was the tricentennial, so we actually put a cornerstone in it. And there's every time I go by, I go, oh, you've been here too long.
Is there a time capsule in there,
too? I hope not.
Dennis's resume.
Yes.
All right. Hearing no other discussion, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. So that was the late resolution. Okay, the next one would be 676. Amending capital project number 607, Government Operations Center, authorizing the cost for design and environmental review under CECRA. Motion for discussion. Second?
Second.
Dude's been here too long. Any other questions?
Glad for the information about the costing on this.
Yeah,
that's
thank
helpful.
You.
Yeah. It does get questioned on the floor.
We'll get asked.
It's important to know that you're not really getting it. You're getting a bargain here with respect to your design cost.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Okay, I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. All right, resolution number 677, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $365,499.75 entered into by the county with Urban Architects LLC.
I'll move
motion.
It.
Second.
Second. Thank you. And is this for the IS edition? No.
I think we gave you a breakdown of what the additional costs are for the urban contract, and there's a lot of that. About the phase one site selection went up about $78,000, and the reason for that was we had a lot more work for site selection than we anticipated. We mm-hmm. Our original contract had three concept plans; they did over 10. So that's the other, and then the building design went up about $151,000. And the reason for that is part of that has to do with the IS server issues, and we've also made a decision to go with a carbon neutral building. And so that's there. And then we do have some increased complexity to the building when you start putting all the pieces together, and the design folks are trying to anticipate that increased complexity. And then last, there's about $135,000, which has to do with additional environmental work. Recall that the original resolution to purchase the property had $250,000 in it for environmental work. That was removed, and you passed a straight resolution with respect to just buying the property for $3 million. So this adds some of that money back so that we can do the environmental work. And out of that, there's about almost $58,000 is related to our work that we need to do for the brownfield site. Mm-hmm. I will tell you that's the first piece of this brownfield site. We have to, once we get, this is sort of all the testing work that we have to get done. Then once we get past that, we're going to look and see what we have to do to actually look at the construction work and the other things that we have to do as part of the cleanup program. We may not use the same consulting firm to do that. Mm-hmm. We're continuing using a consulting firm called CT Mail, which would be under contract under Urban. And the reason for that is they've done all of the work up to this point with respect to the current owner, and we don't want to change horses with okay. respect to that work.
Okay.
Chair, yes. If I may, I just wanted to add in, because this came up during our last committee meeting, about there was extra site selection work, and this was part of the discussion with the legislature on making sure that we had the best site, but also did it in a way that was the most economical. So the site that we purchased, the original price was $4.5 million. So while we've paid an extra $78,000, I would say, the final price of $3 million shows that the deliberation and the pressure and the discussions significantly brought this cost down. Mm-hmm. So we shouldn't at all feel bad about taking a little more time here.
And
it really benefited the county and the residents.
It always helps to have a landowner know that you were looking elsewhere.
Correct. So it brought it down, yes.
Excellent. Thank you. Any other questions? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. We have no action taken in American Rescue. This is the water and sewer. I am willing, because it is getting later, to probably take no action on this one and discuss it next month. So I don't know if I'm quite prepared for that.
That's the ARPA one?
That's the ARPA one, yeah. But we didn't put any money into the capital budget, and we removed the community services out of the capital budget. So, yes.
So the final breakdown, so the legislature appropriated $5 million for water and sewer projects for ARPA.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like there's a remaining $400,000 from the original appropriation. And what I have to do, and Nate's been in these discussions, is there's a remaining appropriation. If there are other projects, I wouldn't recommend, obviously, opening it up to people who already received funding. But if there are places like the town of Esopus or other places that maybe didn't apply the first time, weren't ready, making that $400,000 available to them somehow, or at least surfacing a need again, I think would be advisable. We have a process. We have an application. It's not going to take us much to at least resurface what other municipalities need. I think talking to legislators Criswell and Corcoran, the chair and vice chair of the ARPA committee, would be helpful. I think I would be certainly comfortable doing that part of
it. Okay. All right. So I will meet with them again, and we'll make a decision on this.
Yeah. So it's about 400, maybe a little less, but that's still pretty significant.
Excellent.
To help.
Yeah.
Be one or two projects.
Could be. Yeah. Exactly.
All right. So we'll leave this one till next month. Before Director Doyle goes, we did send out a letter. We have Barbara Budick here from Saugerties about a study on the railroad tracks. Could you just update us on future action possibilities, studies?
The Transportation Council is going through we have an annual year of our planning work program, which usually gets adopted. It goes into effect in April. As part of the state budget, and it usually is adopted in February, March timeframe. And we are looking at what we've got in right now for requested studies with respect to that. And then the council will make a decision in terms of what it wants to do, in terms of what the studies it wants to do. We have one in, I believe, for a follow-up on our safety program that we've done. We did a countywide safety study. We have one in from the city of Kingston, and I think the town of Ulster may have joined that. I haven't read that one yet. But that is looking at the Route 9W corridor, Albany Avenue corridor. We're currently looking at 9W, which is basically from Red Lobster out to past the Tractor Supply Store.
Mm-hmm.
And now the city wants us to look at 9W from the viaduct, the railroad viaduct, into the city of Kingston. So that's it.
So we had another train versus car.
Yeah, and then we're in the process. We're going to start our work on the rail safety study in the city of Kingston. That work is under group. We just put WSP under contract for that, and so that work should start very shortly. And then we're just finishing up our efforts with respect to something called a resiliency study, which is looking at the transportation portions of the transportation system that are subject to concern with respect to climate change. And the two areas we're looking at is obviously heat, and the other one is flooding. And that's we used a process that the federal government called a VAST tool to do that analysis, and it's going to go up in we're doing storyboards right now. It's going to go up in RCUB. I think I've talked to the committee about this. We're moving away from essentially written reports and moving into something called RCUB, And so whether it's the interflu study, which is on in Lower Sopus, the work on on agricultural districts, the Ag Farmland Protection Study, and I know that the NRI work that's being done from our dear friends at the Department of Environment, and they're also doing a resiliency study. So you're going to see a transformation in terms of how the county distributes information, and it's going to move into an ArcHub platform. I'd like to say that it's like a website, but it's not. It's much more interactive than a website, particularly on the mapping components. So when you have a strong mapping component, what this does is allow you to have interactive maps.
Did you have a question, Legislator Erner?
I did. So some residents of Ulster Gardens had invited me to a meeting around transportation that the Riders of Ulster Transit Alliance group had helped set up, and it came out in that meeting that they had some safety concerns over the areas that are being studied, and I'm wondering what type of outreach you have done or plan to do around the local residents' ability to get around, whether it's from their homes to the businesses in the area or vice versa.
So one of the things we are looking at is pedestrian and bicycle accommodations in the corridor. There's not a lot of room out there for bicyclists, but certainly from a pedestrian standpoint. And the outreach program, we're working on that right now. What we're doing first is actually looking at the conditions in the corridor. So we have, when we do public outreach, we have a good condition set in the corridor. We're looking at traffic data for the corridor as well. And then we're starting to think about what we're going to use in terms of expansion factors in the corridor. For example, what's the annual expansion factor that you think is going to happen in the corridor in terms of traffic volumes and bicycle pedestrian volumes? Mm-hmm. So it's less science and more feelings on those, but we do have a fairly large project that we're looking at, which is the revitalization of Tech City, and then what happens to the mall, which all adds traffic to the corridor. So we're well aware of those safety concerns that are out there, and they'll end up being discussed.
And I don't know if I'm just more aware of it, but I've seen a lot more pedestrians and bikes. So it either means we have a lot more, I'm just paying more attention. But I, you know, every time I'm in, especially town of Ulster, and they're using sidewalks, and it's interesting.
I do think it's important to note that the kindest way to say this is that the county planning department, through its review of individual projects, has consistently made recommendations with respect to bicycle and pedestrian. And so a lot of the bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure you see in the corridor is the result of our efforts with respect to trying to convince the private sector to put them in. I would also say that there's resistance in some planning board levels to essentially force the private sector to put those in. But I'll give you the examples that are out there that I think were one of the first. If you look at Kohl's, there's actually raised crosswalks in Kohl's parking lots. It came about through the recommendations from the county planning department. Same thing in the former where Red Bath and Beyond is, and those, there's raised crosswalks in there. And then what we tried to do is we made them make sure that the sidewalk on the roadway actually interconnects with the businesses. You don't have to walk across parking lots and travel lanes inside the parking lot. So it's sort of that holistic approach. You're not just looking at the roadway. You're also looking at how that works. Where it breaks down is if you go up into Home Depot and those areas, we've made recommendations consistent to put sidewalks in those streets, and they just aren't. They're just non-existent. And they're non-existent because the town of Ulster just said, well, we don't think anybody's going to walk there. But we made the recommendations. They finally got some indication that they thought that this should happen when they did the expansion on ShopRite. We made recommendations for the sidewalk on ShopRite to be added. They haven't added it, but as soon as they add sidewalk elsewhere, ShopRite is committed by requirement to essentially add those sidewalks in those locations. And then what we try to do is to keep traffic off the corridor is all of those interconnection roads out there between parking lots and the roads behind, around the mall and behind Hannaford, all of those interconnecting roads, that came out of the county planning department. That was a recommendation that the town of Ulster took to heart, and we ended up essentially moving some of those some of the traffic off of the major corridor to the corridors behind. And those corridors, if you look at those corridors, there's actually sidewalks along those corridors. So when we did the design for that work, there's sidewalks along those corridors behind Hannaford, and it starts in there. There's not an adequate signage program, so if you don't know what's back there and what you can get to, then you end up out on the major corridor because that's the way you're used to going. So we've tried to talk to the town of Ulster about a signage program so that there's wayfinding signage on those roads that go behind. And we even tried to get underneath the CSX corridor so we could get underneath 209 and get to the other side of 209. CSX was having none of that.
Oh.
So we could get, the idea being is you could actually go all the way in, and then you can connect lights, and you could basically make the turn, go all the way up through, get on Old Kings Highway and go to Saugerties without ever hitting a Route 9W corridor.
Wow.
So that's
Maybe with the new study? Because you're in the middle of another study.
Well, the interesting thing is, and I don't want to prejudge what's going to happen, but when you start looking at bicycle and pedestrian facilities on the Route 9W corridor make a whole lot of sense, particularly the crosswalks. Not a lot of room out there for bicycle facilities.
No.
Not a lot of room. And the traffic doesn't give us a lot of opportunity to cut lanes down like we did on Broadway and Kingston. But maybe on the parallel roads, there may be an opportunity for cyclists on the parallel roads.
I see a lot of cyclists using those back routes.
Yeah.
And so
people say they can't make it. They can't walk.
Absolutely.
They can't
cross. The crosswalks are, absolutely. We get that.
Understand. There's no safe way to do it.
Yeah,
you have a mile and a half to cross.
Yeah, understand. Yeah, that's a... And that's the lack of pet heads at the signals.
Mm.
We get
legislator or no?
So I just want to acknowledge the work that you've been doing.
Yeah.
And thank you. And it sounds like you've made some progress with the town of Ulster. Maybe New York DOT is probably another whole thing when it comes to 9W. But as a cyclist, I just want to say, like, I would need to be able to go on a main road just like a car does. And so if there's not a lot of room, we're going to have to figure it out somehow. Somehow we gotta figure it out, because I should have a right to be there. I should
have a right to be there.
Yeah, but I should have a right to be safe and survive my
safe
trip.
Today.
I should have a right
to
survive my trip.
It's a really tough thing to think about. I know that's all I can say. It's a really tough, it's a tough trade-off to think about, because there is just no right-of-way there.
And are you including 9W south of the strip malls down to the City of Kingston line as well?
No. We don't go, that's the extension. The arterial, no, we don't. The study stops at that intersection. It doesn't go past that intersection.
Okay. All right, thank you very much. We're going to move into our transportation group then. So, thank you for being here. You're welcome to stay.
Could I say something
just
before we let Dennis escape? I'll
tell you
thank
where
you
he lives.
To date, anyway. And I would like to also thank Laura for her efforts and the letter to our representative, our state regional representative, Region 8. With that in mind, I have been put on the STAC committee in Saugerties, so that I would be interacting with the Saugerties town and village boards, and they are drafting a letter which will go in front of their town board for support of this effort, and it will come to both of your committees.
Excellent.
And
good.
When you get your CSX little going under the CSX or over or however you get to Kings Highway, honey, you can't ride on King's Highway because there's no shoulders.
No shoulders.
And mm-hmm. I just want you to know, I'll give this to you, 2006. So, I think we're due for a study.
And I bet you Dennis made a recommendation in there for pedestrian walks.
I think is that the SAMA study? Is that the SAMA study?
No, this isn't that. I've already worn that one out.
Yeah, okay.
No, this is...
You're on another one? Oh, that's a transportation enhancement program.
Yeah. So it's been around a long time, and I just want you to know that your efforts are appreciated, but time is moving on. We do have a permit for a distribution center out there on Kings Highway.
Mm.
We're getting more cars, more trucks, and a whole lot more chances for accidents out there. Mm. So we really need to push forward on this.
Be proactive on this one.
So thank you very much for stepping in for that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian.
Yeah.
And can you tell me, did the town of Sorgatys put in for that December 9th deadline $50,000 for studies or anything? Did they get a grant application?
I didn't check. I don't recall Sorgatys. I'll let you know. If you give Brian a call, he'll know.
Okay.
I just don't recall whether Sorgatys put in for a request or not. I apologize.
They had brought that up to the supervisor and whatever, but they didn't know if they were going to get that altogether or whatever. I just wondered if the miracle had happened and I missed the star in the sky. Really, thank you.
Take care.
If you could check that, that's great.
Yeah, we'll just give Brian a call.
Okay.
He'll know.
Thanks.
Yeah. Do you have any new business?
I'll be in touch on drivers.
No new business?
No new business.
So we'll go into old business, which is our transportation group.
Thank you.
Would you like to come up to the table?
Okay, thank you.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night, Barbara.
Good night.
Thank you.
We're moving slowly.
Do you want us to lose attention.
No, okay.
Appreciate it.
All right, I had planned on putting together a matrix, just because we've had a lot of discussion in this group. We've had discussion with the is it the citizens ridership? What is the
Riders of Ulster?
RUTA, yeah,
Riders of Ulster Transit Alliance.
Yeah, and so out of that we have a policy that Legislator Erner is working on. For notification for the public when they are going to change any routes. We've done the pay upgrades. Those were put into our
mm-hmm.
budget. There's been the county-funded fares. There is training, which didn't get officially put into any budget, and I'll let Legislator Erner explain that more, but it was already out there and available, so we're going to make sure that they know about that. Yes, so it was identified. And I think there's another thing we're missing, too.
The bus shelters.
The bus shelters. So there's actually been a lot done, and I want to put it into a matrix so we can, you know, so it's kudos to everybody for going through with this. I think we still have to match Eve Walter's 12 that she did with the
housing.
It was the criminal justice that she did. She put forward an impressive, you know, after a year of studies. But so with that, I'll turn this over to Legislator Erner, so we can keep moving forward.
Okay, thank you, Chair Petit. So you, the brief explanation about the training, as Garment pointed out, is that we did learn that it exists through Office of Employment and Training. UCAT hires a trainee who doesn't have a commercial driver's license, and they're being qualified to be hired at that phase almost certainly guarantees that they'll qualify for the OET program that can train them up, all paid for already through OET's budget that we just approved, and with no needed amendments. So, and I know that Director Williams over at OET had said they were short a weekend trainer through the end of the year, but that shouldn't matter. Our budget takes effect in the new year, so by then they anticipate having their full complement of trainers with the partner organization that does it, so it should be a pretty smooth intake for new drivers getting trained. I had talked to UCAT Director Rozier about, and she had told me that they had already onboarded a couple folks. This is probably almost a month ago now, and I haven't gotten clarity how many vacancies there are right now of drivers. I've heard anywhere from 9 to 12.
Last I talked to Natalie, there were 6 to 8.
Okay, that's
better. Yeah, which isn't too bad, but it would be nice to have everyone, so if someone calls out sick, they don't have to do this shuffle. And then what usually happens if it's dismal, they cut one of the less used routes, and it's always the most in need. It's like the Woodstock to Shandaken route, mm-hmm. you know.
Then there's the long time cut ones that really need to be restored eventually.
Right.
Yeah. And then
there's and parts of the county that don't have anything and really have to have something.
Back 3-4 directors ago, I had received a promise to provide once a month service on call for Denning, which is in my district and goes from Ulster County through Sullivan County and then back into Ulster County. We did clarify that going through Sullivan County did not kind of wipe UCAT buses off the face of the world. There's no Bermuda Triangle out there. It is a triangle. I've done it. It's not a summit.
I've come back.
But so there are some promised routes that have never materialized.
Okay. Is that one of them?
That is definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then there's the one down in there's Wallkill and there's Shongunk. They don't have anything or very, very underserved.
And the other side of my district.
And then there's Milton.
So Milton. But Denning, you can get through Sullivan County, but to get to Frost Valley, you have to go all the way out to Shandaken and go through Hardinburg. But Frost Valley would like to have at least once a month service because they have staff and campers, some of whom could make very good use of that.
And they've got some shuttle buses there to the resorts too already from
Frost Valley is Ulster County.
From transit that's going on that side. So there is connections to get, like, so it wouldn't even have to make it to all the resorts. There's something with shuttle buses.
Could be a connection to their shuttle buses that I hadn't discussed. That sounds good.
The riders.
It sounds familiar, actually. Yeah.
The riders group, which still talks on. Pardon my interrupting. Which meets on Sundays. We had a little discussion this past week about there's at least three additional routes that I'm aware of that all within the past decade have disappeared. There was formerly a Route 212 between Saugerties and Woodstock.
That would be a good one.
That's ago that was eliminated, and then
hard to believe it doesn't exist.
There was on City Bus, there was a route that went to Wilbur that was eliminated in 2019. Now, of course, if the county runs it all, it would be up to the county if they were willing to restore that. And then finally, the G route through all the way to Southern Marlboro into Marlboro Hamlet was eliminated.
The G route, what did that, it started in the city of Kingston and just went down 32 over to 9W? Or?
It was a combined route that also went to Poughkeepsie on some of its runs.
Okay.
And Legislator Corcoran and I had talked in the early summer about he's getting the shelters installed in Milton Hamlet, Marlboro Hamlet, and I don't remember if there's a third place, but we talked about, further connection to Orange County south on 9W right now. The X bus goes 32 to Newburgh, but his constituency is going to tend to go south more than they are to come, say, to Kingston. Maybe they'll go to Poughkeepsie, but either of those places is closer than coming all the way back to Kingston. I'm excited to see what comes from the administration in terms of this routing software, a person who's going to do it, and as you heard me say, I want to be sure that we're talking to the actual riders and potential riders about what's needed, as well as, the riders obviously understand some of the practicalities that we understand here in terms of doing that, but we need to be very clear that it's for the riders, and so they should be driving. Like, if there's a need, like you've identified in Denning, in once a month, it seems like a very little to ask.
Wow. But, and that's reasonable.
We should fulfill the bare minimum.
To be fair, the director at the time said that if they could provide the service and it was well utilized, they could increase that.
Twice a month or once a week.
Woo-hoo. But, seriously, I think about the Woodstock to Saugerties route in particular. There are people in Woodstock who could be served by things that are available in Saugerties that are not available in Woodstock. And it's just the straight shot. And so
I think putting these in front of a new director with a very strong, you know, acting director currently is a good way to go. It's the time to bring it forward. Well,
drivers.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
We can do
yeah.
it
yeah.
since we get the drivers.
Wasn't there a bus that went to Newburgh? Does it still go down that far?
The X bus does go to Newburgh.
X
yep.
bus. Okay.
It goes a few times a day.
Okay.
You can go
so
like
that
6
one's
in the morning
still up and
from
running.
Kingston, and then there's routes that are originate in New Paltz.
Okay.
There's more buses from New Paltz between New Paltz and Newburgh than all the way from Kingston. And yeah, I was actually possibly going to do that on Wednesday. I'm not, it turns out, but I've done it before. And I wanted to also mention another discussion I've been having with folks from Tompkins County. And Tompkins County had called me up after we passed the free buses, because they've been trying to do that, and they want to know, how did you do it? Like, how did you work it out with the state and the funding and everything? And they're ahead of where we are in terms of covering some of their rural routes, at least in terms of using school districts. Now, the difference is all of their school districts own their own buses.
Mm-hmm.
In our county, it's only two of the districts.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, I do have an email here and that I'm
which
happy to share.
Which two districts own their buses?
Which two districts in Tompkins County?
Here.
Oh, here. One of them is New Paltz, and I don't remember what the other one is. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Socrates?
No.
Oh, it's New Paltz and... I don't
it's
know
not
what the other one is.
It's not on Teora.
It's not on Teora.
Shorty's has
not Kings.
Lizette Express and
yeah,
first
it's not
student.
Kingston. I got a bunch.
But we'll find that out.
Yeah.
So
I didn't mean to interrupt your flow.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. And I'd love to share with the committee my correspondence with the Tompkins County folks in terms of their progress there. They had some ideas for us how we might get around that. There, as you might know, different requirements for driving a bus if it's owned by a private versus if it's municipal.
Mm.
And, like, you can drive a smaller vehicle without a CDL for private carrier and have passengers, whereas you can't even drive a 15-passenger van without a CDL if you're driving for a public.
Mm.
So that's something we could figure out, maybe a way around, or if we can't figure it out, like, I think small vehicles is something we really should look at for, you know, the possibility of running more smaller vehicles than fewer larger vehicles in some cases. And so hopefully we work with the legal requirements there. And if it doesn't suit our needs, maybe we have some friendly legislators and on both state and federal level. We just, you know, sent our former executive to Congress, and maybe we need to work on the federal level. We have that in. So those are some of the things I'm thinking about.
In terms of the smaller buses, I think maybe in January it would be nice to get an update on the microtransit application.
Hmm.
And if it was
I'm
not awarded,
night.
Which I assume it...
Good night.
Good night. Thank you. If Ulster County did not receive one, then there had been talk of trying to do that internally.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we didn't have funding, we still would move forward with that initiative. So an update on that would be great, because I do think microtransit is the way to go, especially in a rural area like my district and a lot of Ulster County. And maybe they haven't announced those awards yet, which might be we still are in the running, but it, an update so we know.
And I'd like to get together with the Ulster County Chamber. I've had discussed it with Ward Todd, but, you know, because we've talked, and this is something that Phil had said, getting the businesses together to shuttle, even if it's a hotel shuttle, or, you know, to get them through our busier districts, up through the malls and everything, because I see UCAT buses there all the time. They're at ShopRite, they're at Home Depot there, and maybe if we could kind of gravitate them towards longer routes and have a smaller loop throughout.
I think that's a promising idea. The mall loop, I think, is one of the most heavily utilized.
It is, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
Ulster Gardens has a pickup
mm-hmm.
that allows them to utilize the
They
mall
are
loop.
All, they're home at 4 o'clock. They
yeah,
are like,
it doesn't go past
it's like prison.
Yeah.
It's like prison. They have no way out of there after 4 o'clock, and they're not sending paratransit after that.
They stop at 5, so they'd need to get them to where they're going and back.
It's like they're in prison. It's like they're guilty of being old and poor.
Well, my sister lived there for many years before she passed a couple of years ago. She was one of the first residents after it opened up, and she did utilize the services that they do have. But I would love to have more service there.
Yeah, they really, those, we went and met with those folks, Bill, you know.
Yeah, but I know that, site
and it's heavily used, but do you need a big bus?
I don't know if they need a big bus. Why? I don't know why the facility, well, anyway.
Another reason.
Well, that's it. Yeah, why doesn't the facility?
More drivers. Yeah, these private facilities should be providing this. If you're, we're doing this huge, it's not quite aggregate housing, but it's these huge housing complexes.
Right.
There should be some, you know, services provided.
And they always
promise
they're not going to be a burden on the infrastructure, but that's where you get your emergency phone calls, and that's where you get, and it should be figured in that they do offer. I mean, Woodland Ponds has their own shuttle bus, but
well,
that has
Woodland,
a it's Woodland Pond.
You know what it costs to get into? But they should still have access. It's crazy. These people are not—they're not prisoners. Why are they being treated like prisoners?
Mm. And they also don't have the mobility to just.
And they can't. They're also this for them. They can't walk. You know, a lot of them—they're more than capable of walking. But it's really dangerous for them to walk, from especially when it gets dark at night. Mm.
Yeah. Is that the one that's behind Chambers School?
No, that's the ones behind UPS. And behind
Augustine,
yeah, but they do this with these housing complexes.
They
bury them out of sight,
no
out of mind, and they
no
give them
lights,
no resources and access.
Yeah.
And people are basically in jail.
Yeah,
in that kind of.
Somebody told me that there was an informal trail that goes from that doesn't go out onto 9W directly. Goes from the back of Ulster Gardens. Now, my sister couldn't handle that kind of hike, and maybe everybody couldn't.
But it's not, you know.
It's not for everybody, but it's safe.
No, but
we
should look into it, because if we
make it a real
to develop it, it becomes an off-road way to get to the mall, basically.
But, and then people can't cross over. It's a very difficult.
No,
they can't get anywhere.
No, but then
across
a user group to advocate for those crossings, because I think. You know, the crossings, to have them signalized for pedestrians is just money. So
it's complicated, and there's nothing signalized for pedestrians. There's nothing signalized for pedestrians.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You need to have some signalized crossings. And even if we can't do it all at once, if we start, then each time we get one signalized, it's that much less distance that somebody has to go. And I'm sympathetic to what Director Doyle said about 9W is tough because it's four lanes and then you're right into parking lots, and those are privately owned by businesses, so there's not much. But so it reminds me sort of like a historic building that you can't make handicapped accessible. You have to do something that gets you around that, and that's why I think those parallel streets, if you have, they're not that far beyond 9W. And you have some crosswalks that would allow
pedestrians. And some shuttle buses that shuttle around a lot.
Yes,
put them on the bike racks and then get on the shuttle that goes around.
Yes, although that, I think, is much less desirable to me as an imaginary rider than to be able to just ride. I mean,
there's the KS bus, but there isn't really another bus that goes there currently to the mall areas.
No, it's
Isn't
just
it the
mall loop.
Yeah,
what we
but
heard
these
was a request for the yellow line to extend from Port Ewan basically up 9W, whichever way, East Chester, however you want, and then to the mall and have that as an alternative way to connect to the mall.
Or
that
at least
like
a
good route.
Transit hub where they could get, you know, dropped off and picked up.
Only somebody would listen.
As long as it's free. I mean, when you start, if we ever get fares back again, then you're talking money for transfers.
There was that through the fare free transit. There was some discussions, I think, a couple different places, about really having the larger businesses start paying for some of that. So, like, if there was a shuttle bus that the malls paid for, and in the city of Kingston and the new Form-Based Code in the latest draft, there's language about over a certain size, you have to have a parking reduction plan. Mm-hmm. And that includes having bus shelters or having mm-hmm. shuttles.
Mm-hmm.
So as options that you can mm-hmm. add
yeah.
into that. So and they can be also required for pilots that you do
yeah.
it or some kind of it can
but
be a,
that kind of language in the city of Kingston
mm-hmm.
code is the type of thing that I think Director Doyle was pointing to that he couldn't
yeah,
get
that Ulster
in
to get.
The
mm-hmm.
town
yeah,
of Ulster.
Yeah.
And that's where you know, the
mm-hmm.
getting the citizens there to mobilize
yeah.
to ask
yeah.
for what they need.
Or maybe go around them like those, that no pilots unless you put like shelters
right.
and
well,
a shuttle
yeah.
bus or something like that.
And especially
hey,
when I-87 gets those housing units in. I mean, if somebody's living there and working there, I mean, maybe they won't have cars.
Yeah.
So then they're
yeah.
going to need
yeah.
that
that's
transportation there. So maybe we could even bring it up to I-87 too as a...
Well, that's the idea. I think it could be considered to add to the matrix for the
yeah.
IDA.
Yeah.
So that's
yeah.
what we're talking
yeah.
with the legislators that
that's
are
yeah.
on the...
Yeah.
It was interesting that Dennis Doyle said that they have to consider the growth of traffic. And I think he was talking about vehicular traffic. I'm not
mm-hmm.
sure.
But what about the demand for...
If there's housing at Tech City, which there now will be, right? That's in, they're gonna they
mm-hmm.
did, they are gonna have some housing there. So, going between Tech City and the malls, it would kind of be crazy to drive over there if you've got options otherwise. And
mm-hmm.
so they should have options otherwise. Why have that? It doesn't need to increase traffic by as much as it could.
Yeah, I think you're right. Public transit makes a lot of sense there.
Mm-hmm.
As does walkability.
I think there should be some crosswalk bridges that go over 9W in a couple
yeah.
of places because I don't even think signaling
yeah,
is going to...
Yeah, how do you figure that out? Yeah. It would otherwise, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure what the height of traffic allowed there is.
Mm.
But because if you have very big trucks, then that becomes
they
more
have
difficult. But it's
yeah.
worth thinking about.
They're very expensive, I guess.
Yeah, so it's losing lives.
Yeah.
And a lot of people who you would think would use them don't, because it can be an effort to go up over a bridge that somebody who can walk on a flat surface can't do.
Mm-hmm.
Bring your bicycle up them as well.
And bring
yeah.
it in.
Yeah,
so
the elevators would be very expensive.
So if you can go underneath, then that works for everybody more easily, but it's more expensive.
Could we recommend as a legislature, this might be kind of micro level, but I've seen some designs where you don't have as many driveways turning off of a major road like that, and they enter and exit at the streets rather than those driveways, and the driveways would be in the back off the parallel roads.
If that had been planned when those buildings went in, that would have been fantastic. To get it to happen now... you know, everybody except us would be against it, I think. You know,
yeah.
it the businesses, the patrons of those businesses, that's a hard ask,
well,
I think.
Well, the motorists going to the businesses, but those of us who get the businesses in another way might...
Yeah.
Yes, I expect a very important correction. Thank you. Yes, the motorists who patronize those businesses. But it's changing, and, you know, I think every bit that we can
yeah.
improve the system.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I guess, that's a zoning code thing that in
mm-hmm.
the town of Ulster,
yeah.
that would be
yep.
such a...
Yeah, I mean, you could
you know,
start pushing
that
them
category,
into Ulster.
Out how,
maybe show up
yeah.
some of their meetings.
Maybe organize the
yeah.
people who work in the malls,
yeah.
because a lot of... It's very hard to work there and afford a car.
Yeah. I do see a lot of people walking on Frank's Tile, and it
yeah.
doesn't have a sidewalk, and
uh-huh.
it's a very dark back road.
Yeah. There was a Citizens of Ulster group.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So maybe getting in touch with them and making, you know, seeing if we can combine
yeah.
efforts.
Yeah,
with
Ulster
Laura.
Citizens.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, and they have monthly
Ulster
meetings,
that's
too.
That's how they say it.
Yeah.
Ulster, that's, but that's the
town
the
of Ulster.
Town of
citizens.
Ulster.
Town of
Ulster.
Yeah. yeah.
But they have monthly meetings,
yeah.
mm-hmm. and they've got a very strong voice too in the town of Ulster. But
yeah.
I might talk to the supervisor and the board first before I call out the big guns.
Mm.
I know you're under.
It's like, oh, that's a big gun. Let's go for it. Throw it for the jugular.
It's always it's good advice. It's good advice. And, you know, if you've done
the
that.
The proper way.
No, if you've done that, then when somebody says, well, you never even talked to us, it's not true. You know, it's the proper way.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. In terms of changing the bus routes, we were just talking about it differently, but we were talking about the actual routes and what they should be and what should be added out of UCAT. There's the route optimization software and the person who's going to be doing it, and then we've got the warning now that's the resolution of giving people some warning before changes are made.
Legislator Erner.
So, in terms of changing routes and they're now and it's making that decision, I don't think it's very clear currently at the way that UCAT does that, because little small ones get made regularly and they're not without their system-wide impact.
Mm. Well, I think that's a discussion that we should open up with the new director.
Mm.
And, you know, we can begin it with Deputy Executive Kelly. Mm-hmm. He wants Ulster County to work well for people. You know, I think all of us do. And so I think it's worth looking at how they make those decisions. I have been at meetings on route changes where I'm almost the only person in the room.
Yeah.
And so you can understand from the agency's perspective why that gets to be a drain on staff.
They're terrible at, I mean,
they're terrible letting people know that even they're having a hearing.
Yeah.
And there are tons of
people
who want, they have no ways to get.
Right, they
make
it in places where you can't get to by public transit.
Because even if you get here by public transit, you can't get home.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You can't get a bus home now, especially if you live out county.
Yeah.
And if we advocate for it, then we get them to get a shuttle, but they don't just set it up right there. It's like every little comments, that goes into the communication thing, too. Director Kelly and Tony Rozier both, after, I think it was the last Public Works meeting afterwards, both of them independently said to me that they are looking to, with Victoria, of Innovations, I can't remember her last name,
mm-hmm.
and the
Reed,
and then the person who was sitting here last meeting, who's in the budget, a man.
Yeah, Don. He used to be with Public Works.
So
yeah.
Don, Victoria, Chris, and Tony had been talking about a number of things with it, and one of them was there's a number of administrative positions at UCAT that are vacant, and they talked about identifying one of those as putting a communications specialist in.
Transportation coordinator position they were going to convert into a communications.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's what Chris is saying. One of the transportation coordinators.
All right,
they're
good.
Vacant. Yeah, there's
a
few vacant ones.
They really, I mean, that coordinating meetings better, making sure that people know about them, that would be one thing. Making sure that there's signage at bus stops, at least the ones that are on the maps.
All the maps all are the same on the website.
Yeah.
You know, when you do a change of route, that it doesn't just hit Twitter. Or, you know, that it hit, that everything is consistent in real time,
right.
And that
we
people know how to do that.
Even Twitter and Instagram, Twitter and Facebook contradicted each other with the messages that we're saying.
So, you know, this is a 21st century kind of thing, but I think county overall is probably weak in the ability to get messaging out to the public and engage community engagement. But when you're dealing with direct services like this, you know, people's lives depend on where's my bus? Can I get home? Can I get to work? Can I get to school? Can I get to my appointments? So that needs to be, you know, a very coordinated thing. And somebody needs to be, you know, one person dedicated to it, but other people need to be cross-trained so that if that person, something happens to that person's out, that person's on vacation, the process still goes along. Yeah.
I know there's been some discussion with respect to the bus shelters about how the municipalities, first of all, would be responsible, but second, would have to, like, I've at least encouraged our team who are going to help make that happen to encourage the municipalities around it, and, like, if there's a municipality that's maybe a little resistant to putting a shelter in, like, having that conversation. I want to suggest the same sort of thing with respect to the routes, because I was thinking, oh, UCAT could go around to each of the most, you know, densely populated areas in the county, but that's a lot for UCAT to do, but it's not as much for each municipality to do within, and then bring that to Department of Public Transportation as an alternative to having to get everybody to come to Kingston to a meeting that they can't get home to from. Mm. Not that we shouldn't also do that, but I think that there is a way that we can reach more of the people, and that maybe that is
a regional approach.
Yes, to like the Ken Ronk would appreciate.
And yeah.
I appreciate that too. I think our legislature would do well to meet in other parts of the county for that matter. And,
yeah.
You know,
it is crazy that we don't have a bus from Saugerties to Woodstock and New Paltz to many places, but everything just is from Kingston, including the meetings.
Well, I think we've had some involution and revolution, and now we're going to be starting again. And I think we can use all that experience to try to get the system better right from the beginning. But we won't really be able to begin that work until next month, in my view. We don't have the people in place.
I want to just state publicly how fortunate I feel to have had so many bus drivers share with me their experience,
mm-hmm.
and what they see. And I understand things have smoothed out in the past couple months overall for the drivers, but just hearing, like, this is what my route is like, this is where, you know, it's not safe for people to get on the bus, this is where people block and block the bus stop, this is what's going on since we made the fares free, here's where construction, like, all these different things. The bus drivers have been a very willing resource, at least to me, as after I identify myself as a legislator, and I've felt very, like they've been very willing to share information I find quite useful. Thanks if any of you are listening.
Or reading the minutes, which does happen.
Something that was brought up as far as pushing bus shelters was doing an inventory of the bus shelters. And I don't know how difficult that would be. I mean, it sounds relatively simple. It's a big county, though. But if anybody wants to go out on a road trip or...
I thought that should be done by just sending out questionnaires to the town clerks. I've been told that it's very difficult to get information back that way, but I think that it goes to the supervisors. I wouldn't send this to the supervisors.
Yeah.
I'd send it to the town clerks,
mm-hmm.
and I bet we would get them to
follow.
Tell us.
But we may have to follow up.
And then maybe we could have some volunteers to follow up, but if we brought that information, it'd be very helpful.
Mm-hmm. There are many bus shelters where there are not bus stops. My first idea was to get on the bus, and like our group could have a couple of our meetings on the bus, which we've been talking about anyway.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, and like, you know, go where people are, and we could just look, because the county doesn't have actual. They say that I think it's New Paltz and Kingston. You're not supposed to hail the bus.
Mm.
That's the most recent thing. They keep changing it back and forth.
Mm.
I think it makes sense. It's not safe to hail in a very dense area to jump out into traffic and try to catch a bus, you know?
Right.
You should have a place you know where you can safely, like, read your book while you wait, you know? And,
they should have a running board seat.
Right, at the last meeting, they were giving away these flashlights so that you could go, that they were giving those away with UCAT written on it.
SOS.
But the schedules do have. Oh, that's it.
You can hail a bus.
Yeah.
It's broken already. Does
it
work?
I've had it for like 2.5 years.
They don't have any meaning,
but I know
that
it was to hail a bus.
I've seen in Esopus. I mean, there's. They took the one out that was at the mobile home park because it was being used for garbage. Literally, it was spilled out onto 9W.
So would each town
but they have, you know, there were four people standing and waiting for a bus right in the hamlet of Port Ewen. None of them were near a bus stop, though. And I think the bus stop is up by the seniors' residence.
So there's two ways. You can sometimes will say, though, that's not an actual bus stop. There are no real bus stops. But
There are, like, and some people, like, you will call a bus shelter a bus stop.
Yeah.
But then there's what's on the schedule. And those, at the very least, should have shelters because you know when it's scheduled to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, you're right. They should have, okay. That's a good point.
Shelters at scheduled stops.
Shelters at scheduled stops.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the uniform ones, because the one we have by the seniors now is one of those. It's one of those little wooden POW things.
Yeah,
POW.
Where did those come from? There's one.
I don't know.
32 as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
At scheduled stops. Okay. And sending out a letter. Those are good ideas.
So each town would send back an what they think they have,
mm-hmm.
with pictures and locations.
Pictures,
so we
would
know.
Be good because they're
pictures
because
they're all
going to
be different.
Yeah, yeah,
that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And we do have the information of the agreements. I foiled all bus shelter agreements between the County of Ulster and municipalities and businesses, and there was a list, a large list. I'll forward it to you. I forwarded it to
11 towns.
What?
Were there 11 towns that had agreements?
Was it about, yeah, I can easily pull it up too. But it was all a period of a few years, and it was a specific bus shelter that they were putting up, and part of the agreement was, they actually said that the municipality, or in some cases the businesses that hosted them, agreed to throw them away after their useful life, which was expected to be like 10 years, which seems so wasteful, and none of them did. They're still there, they're
still
doing fine. Yeah, and they were very, very simple bus shelters. So yeah, they had
those.
Oh,
you got it, you figured it out. Oh, look at it's a four-way light.
Yeah. It's got a nagging
so
on here for
the bus
driver's going
to stop when they see that
thing. Yeah, they were giving away those and the drawstring foldable backpacks. Yeah, which was a long time ago. They don't have them very often. Yeah. So, yeah. But yeah, so that they did have those, and that didn't include, like, I don't think that included the POW ones. So that maybe those were even earlier or a separate thing.
And some of them, I think, people made for their kids, so those are for private buses,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah,
I guess
there are some sweet old historic ones I've seen.
Yeah.
Anderson School, I think, has some.
Yeah.
Well, we have our work cut out for them.
So I just want to mention one more inter-county effort that's closer to us. I've started talking with some folks in Orange and Dutchess counties as well, where we already send UCAT buses, and I've spoken publicly about feeling as though, hey, maybe they could send buses our way, but what would be even better than that is some sort of regional transit that we all worked on together, and maybe even a state transit system. And I think if we continue talking with Tompkins County and others across the state, maybe we can build support for that. There was actually an individual at the Ulster Gardens meeting who had grown up in Rhode Island, and they have a state transit system in Rhode Island. And she was describing how, obviously, it's a much smaller state, but that's the size of our county.
Yeah,
and, although their biggest city has the same population as our whole county. Nonetheless, I think this is the sort of direction that I'd be interested to see if the committee and if not the full legislature, would be supportive of at least talking with our state representatives about and talking with other neighboring communities about counties.
I think it'd be good to raise this with the UCTC, the Ulster County Transportation Council, because that's the forum in which we already have those three counties represented and working together.
Mm-hmm.
So I would want them to be inside that and growing it out,
mm-hmm.
rather than have some kind of something take on an independent life and then have to be affixed to it somehow. You might want to.
So instead of calling a meeting of these counties for our own regional review, we should
do it
through
UCTC.
Yeah,
I would start there. Brian Slack is a very responsive transportation planner in our Ulster County Planning Office, and Ulster County serves as the host
agency for that.
We're familiar.
So, you know, starting with Brian and telling him about your interest in this, I think would be a good way to go, and maybe even coming down to that meeting and making a presentation or asking them to invite Tompkins County in. I'd like to do that collaboratively with the people with that training, because I think we'll get further faster.
Yeah,
if we do.
That makes a lot of sense. And I have actually, I've mentioned it in that space before, but not sure what people thought.
I think they feel like Trailways does that for us.
They do, but Trailways is
not affordable for a lot of our residents.
Yeah.
We give them about $1 million a year.
Yeah, we give them money.
Yeah.
And Orange County, we also give one of the Orange County buses, I guess it's short line, money as well.
Yeah.
And they seem to feel that that's sufficient for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have to push.
I guess that's one of the things that could be pushed on, because it might make sense to utilize something that's already providing that service, but head in the direction that we headed in Ulster County in terms of, you know, either free fare or some fare that would make sense for the public that we're trying to serve.
I don't think the commercial bus companies are open to that.
Well, what they're open to changes, but depending upon what regulations there are.
Especially if they're losing money right now, because we have a lot of people working from home, so they don't have, you know, the commuters like they used to, and they're worried. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's now
they
turned to
more interested in
the
new ridership.
Yeah, they did.
We have the KPL and the UPL, the Ulster Poughkeepsie Link and the Kingston Poughkeepsie Link. And when that went into effect, Trailways stopped running to Poughkeepsie. We don't have anything that goes over to the other bridge. Connect Mid-Hudson, that's a study I want to read again. I only, like, breezed through it.
I've seen that, yeah.
And that's where the Ulster Connect idea came from.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about micro-transit in there, too, but they talk about a lot of stuff in there.
Well, it is...
Connect Mid-Hudson?
It is difficult to provide a service to rural areas because the ridership numbers that would generate funding from the federal government aren't there.
Yeah.
And so we have to be innovative, and we do have to push the system. I'm not saying we should be limited to what's available through the UCTC, but I used to go to all their meetings. I haven't been able to do that this past year. And
we kind of picked it up.
When's your next one?
The end of next month. It's not this month. They're not doing
one
in December.
Okay.
The end of January.
I flake out and I keep missing them.
That 5-year book that you lent me, Laura, had 250 comments at the back, and I'd say more than half of them said something about a bus over the Kingston-Rhinecliff Bridge. That was
really?
2018
the
or 19. Yeah.
Where would they pick up, though? Is there, does Dutchess go out that far into Rhinebeck so they could pick up if it dropped them off at the park and ride?
What do you mean? Where do they
over
Dutchess
the
goes on Route 9.
Oh, the buses. There's no bus to the train. In Dutchess County, they don't have a bus, Dutchess bus to
right.
the train.
That would be, River Road, going down River Road.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Bard does their own, and now Bard has students that they're housing over here in one of the hotels. The Holiday
goodness.
Inn Express, I believe, because they oversubscribe
oh,
their dorms.
CIA did that, too.
But they're running a bus right now, but it's just for their students.
But just for their students.
And there's there seems to be a higher demand, but there's Bard, there's the town of Red Hook,
there's
Rhinebeck.
Which means their students need transportation here if they don't have vehicles. They need
right.
County too.
So they're stuck over by that hotel.
It's
a
school partnership.
Yeah. So I know a lot of people are just stuck where they are because they don't have transportation, and it's a problem. So,
Well, it is really great, though, that, like, we've got all these the resolutions, and like you were talking about, Laura, doing a report on that, because, I mean, I was thinking about, the county doesn't advertise very widely for, like, positions, so, like, I put the UCAT up on Plan Edison, because I'm like, that's where, like, good people read it, and I was thinking, oh, maybe I should have, like, put a little blurb. I did, but I just did it the way the county did it. But I was like, oh, maybe I should have put a little blurb about all the great things that are happening for transit and the great support that the legislature has. And you should really want to be here as a director, because if you've got like drive, you can become part of a team that's making public transit work. Yeah. So yeah, there have been other communities taking notice. So that, yeah.
Yeah, and I think I did see the notice about the drivers go through, but I didn't repost it, so we can push to remind ourselves that. Because
we posted ourselves on Facebook,
on our social media.
Also, the UCAT director position is open as
well.
That's
what we're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't think I saw that one.
It posts on the 8th. It's on the personnel page.
But who looks at that?
Well, we did. Right. We did because we're looking for it. So, you can have, you can be UCAT director with 9 years of experience and a GED.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Ooh,
they're not asking for a lot.
No.
But
no.
That's
a pretty low bar.
Well, no, I just want to say that I've just been putting together job description for position of the new agricultural manager in Ulster County. And I wanted to be very careful to make sure that somebody who had a lot of experience but didn't go straight to a graduate degree is able to
be a director. Be a director.
Yes.
But that's a whole different thing. I think for a director in the 21st century, you've got to have vision, you've got to have a network of people, you have to have state access to be state, you've got to be somebody who's active in state organizations, transportation organizations, you've got to be somebody who, like, if in 10 years you had the opportunity to go to school, because all those people have the opportunity to go to, like, UCC, you would get your associate's degree because you show that level of initiative. I think it's a really low bar for us, for $100,000, $98,000 position, to say that everybody in any... My spouse who's worked at UPS could qualify for that.
They didn't have any other...
Yes, they could. They totally could.
That's not transportation experience.
Excuse me, CDL? They're one of the biggest CDL transporting companies in the country.
Well, if they are the head of that division, then why wouldn't you want them to be able to
apply? We're talking about...
I take your point that you want a high bar.
No, I don't. I think it's a very low bar. And I think, we should make it open to all sorts of people.
Well, that's
my point. But it should be...
With
experience, but just being experienced in running in UCAT, just if you've had 9 years at UCAT, that should be... Director? I think the bar is way too low.
Well, I think that the bar for applications is low. Mm-hmm. That does not mean that the bar for hiring is at the same place.
Why would you...
And because the reason I would open it up is that if you have the unusual person who went into a career path, like my career path to get where I am is very unusual. And I think that I don't always qualify if you look on some things. And I think what the person can do is more important than the degree.
Right. But I think to be a director, it really requires more exposure to the operations world above and beyond what was in the garage at One Danny Circle. Seriously, because otherwise, are they going to be dependent upon the executive now?
Why don't we see who the applicants are and who's chosen?
Okay,
because
I just
then this conversation may.
Okay,
not
I just think we could raise our bar a little.
Let's get the word out, because when the Resource Recovery Agency was looking for,
and I think we should be more concerned for women, trans people, people of color.
But that's right. Some of those people who have the unusual career path.
I
am hearing you, and
I think it's outrageous. I think it's outrageous to even like give people the hope to apply.
I'm remembering a previous discussion where we acknowledged that other departments besides public transportation transport our people, and I might not remember this correctly, but it doesn't really matter. I would love to check in with such departments, for example, Office for the Aging or Department of Social Services, and just see how and whether that can somehow be coordinated, or if they feel like their services are adequate in terms of transportation right now or could be enhanced. And I'm not sure if what I'm saying makes a lot of sense.
Those would be good discussions to have, because
I think Office for Aging does have transportation, and it's more on the paratransit, but I'm not sure how integrated, if at all, it is with UCAT, and that could be a way to expand paratransit, but they have constraints in the Office of Aging in terms of who they can serve, I think.
Yeah, and same with veterans, but those are, I suspect, disproportionately communities that could use transportation compared to non-veterans, non-elders.
Right, their needs may not be fully met with the services they're currently getting, is what you're suggesting. I see. Yeah?
I'll volunteer to reach out.
Great. There you go.
And I guess this has mainly been a discussion about public transit, passenger transportation, but in the past I know that we've done a little bit of other discussion around logistics, transportation of like commercial transit, and I'm wondering if this committee would have any interest in a future discussion and getting back to that a little bit. And one thing I'm thinking is I did follow up with the Center for Post-Carbon Logistics, which had made a presentation to us in the Environment Committee, and was planning to speak again with them in January. If the committee was interested, I suspect that we could make that happen for this committee as well. They're talking about how to use the rivers again, like they used to be used in the canal days and things of that sort.
City of Kingston has the LWRP, the Local Waterfront Revitalization, Local Waterfront Revitalization Plan, LWRP, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Revitalization, and part of that really encourages using the waterfront as a working waterfront with traditional use of the water stuff. And there's the talk about the ferry is more passenger travel, but yeah, we could connect Saugerties and Kingston, and if we had some
Cahonkston all the way up to Kingston
train.
On the Rondo.
Yeah. I just sent you the bus shelter agreements.
Oh,
it gives an idea of where there were bus shelters, where the county placed them last, and what they asked for.
And we do have the Sunday RUTA meetings if you ever want to, you know, pop in.
Sunday's hard for me, but
yeah. 9 a.m.
It's hard for all of us.
We're like, when can anybody
That's
make
my
it?
One sleep
okay,
in day,
we're just
going
to
yeah.
have to crawl out of bed.
It's a judgment-free zone, so the hair...
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Bring your coffee, bring your breakfast.
I'm up early enough. I'm just over at the meditation hall.
And I have one final proposition for those here. Who'd like to take the W bus with me sometime? It's the only one I've never been on.
To Newburgh?
To Wallkill.
To Wallkill.
Yeah.
Only runs weekdays, once a day.
Mm-hmm. Is it like the 6 a.m.?
It's absurdly early.
Once a day, wow. Yeah. And how do you get back?
You come back 12 hours later.
12 hours later!
Oh,
you
my
can you
goodness.
Can do a round trip. You can go there and come right back, or you can come back in the evening. That's what you can do.
So you could just go there for the ride. Because
you could you could arrange something with Ken Ronk and let him give you tours of the fire department and emergency centers.
Wallkill at
7 a.m.
Wallkill. What are we doing in Wallkill at 7 a.m.?
Is it part of the winery trail?
No.
I don't think so.
Maybe
like,
you can walk partway back up
like
and catch it in New Paltz.
You could put your bike on and ride the Wallkill Valley Rail Trail. Back.
That's what that would be, make it doable.
The whole way back.
But going there and back would be an opportunity to mark off where there are shelters on the route.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you go just directly back.
Oh, it's not the same route back and forth?
I don't know.
You probably would be. You have to check that. If we have to ride it both ways, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
But one way and then a bike ride, maybe.
When are you going to go down?
When am I doing that?
Yeah.
I haven't planned it.
Okay. And you're planning on going down and just coming back up? Or did you really want to spend 12? Or do you want
to spend 12 hours in Wallkill?
Yeah.
There's a few things there. Yeah.
How far away is it? How?
Walk Hill's 12 miles south of New Falls.
It is. It's a hike, yeah.
So it's like 25 miles from here, 30 miles.
About 40, right.
So
40
it's an hour.
Car.
So, you know, if you do 50, yeah, it's about an hour.
Yeah, if you do it, it's just go down and stay on the bus. I may be able to be had for that, but in a little warmer weather, even though we'd be on the bus.
All right.
This is where you're going to start having your office meetings with other legislators, I can tell.
Uh-huh,
you're going to write it once, you're going to go, oh, the W route is my place. I can see it. It's
a little fold-up desk thing.
Yeah. Office hours. Legislator Irma.
Yeah. This bus this day. Yeah.
Seriously. I have about that long a trip to get to my home, so I'm going to head out. But
okay.
Thank you very much. And I look forward to working with all of you.
Oh, thank you so much.
2023.
Would like to get going to, did you
have a good holiday.
Thank
you.
I sent you the job. I sent you all three of you the job director listing.
Oh, thank you.
Because that's a good one to share
with everybody. Yeah.
I just posted
it
all over.
Appropriate
experience. I put it on the Kingston Public Transit.
I do have the degree,
right?
Do you need to move to adjourn?
From the working group, I think it's
Kathy Lee by consensus.
Yeah. Maybe just put down the formal time that we started in the working group. I can't tell by the text.
Okay. We started about an hour ago. About 7:30.
Yeah.
What?
My dog. I'm going to go pick up my dog.
We have a civil service issue. Oh, okay.
At her friend's house, we do have a good arrangement where she goes to Odin's house once a day, and once a week, and Odin comes to our house once a week.
All right.
Yeah. I took
23.
This nice picture of them.
I'm putting that
the other day.
Mm-hmm. And the doggies.
They're lounging. Anyone? I do actually have a kid too, but this is actually more fun.
Hey, happy holidays to you too.
Have a great holiday.
Want to see my puppy pictures? For my dog pictures?
Yeah.
There's Lucy and her friend Odin who came to visit.
Aww.
Just resting on Lucy.
They're
so relaxed.